What if everything you thought you knew about ancient wisdom was wrong? Hidden in plain sight, a veiled secret code lies within the world's most sacred text. An ancient Egyptian template, the key to deciphering the Bible, the Hermetica, and beyond. Prepare to have your beliefs shattered and your eyes open as we unveil the shocking revelations that will change your understanding of history, religion, and the very nature of reality itself. There exists a prevalent modern bias that undermines the ingenuity of many ancient people and their knowledge. The average person tends to believe that our current technological advancements automatically make us more advanced than our ancient counterparts. This bias is particularly evident when it comes to ancient cultures and people. Consider the intricate symbolism of ancient Egypt, where human bodies are merged with animal heads and vice versa. The Egyptian god Thoth is one of these often misunderstood symbolic concepts. Thoth was originally called a god because of early Egyptologists at the end of the 17th century. They had biases believing that these ancient African people were primitive and not really grasping the intricacies of nuances of Egyptian symbolism and mythology. The early Egyptologists believed that because of the ancient Egyptian symbolism of humans with animal parts and heads on their bodies, that these primitive, unsophisticated minds must be worshiping these hybrid beings as gods. So that's the name they gave them, gods. But a later 20th century Egyptologist by the name of R.A. Schwaller de Lubitsch corrected that error in his work. He recognized the genius of the Egyptian symbolic and hieroglyphic system. In his book, Sacred Science, he states, "In order to approach an understanding of ancient Egypt, it is necessary to eliminate the infantile notions which have been expressed with regard to pharaonic thinking as a whole." R.A. Schwaller de Lubitsch recognized that the ancient Egyptians were monotheistic, but they expressed the idea of God based on it being incomprehensible, but showing up in what results as the multiplicity of the universe. He states that idea like this: "These principles or ideas which preside over forms and functions were called netters in pharaonic Egypt. It is unfortunate that Egyptology interprets these glyphs as meaning gods. There are no gods in existence. God is." What R.A. Schwaller de Lubitsch recognized that instead of gods, the ancient Egyptians personified functions and the workings of everything in the universe. These personified functions the Egyptians called netters. Today, we might do the same thing and say, "Isn't Mother Nature amazing?" Or, "Father Time is catching up with me." R.A. Schwaller de Lubitsch goes on to explain more about ancient pharaonic thinking. Study of the ancient text shows, in fact, that since the ancient empire, there is an affirmation of faith in one and only one God, eternal and nameless, the netter of netters, boundless and incomprehensible. Parallel to this vision, there exists a pantheon composed of considerable number of netters or principles. Furthermore, R.A. Schwaller de Lubitsch states, "It's a profound error, therefore, to consider the netters in imitation of our notion of God, as gods who judge and intervene arbitrarily as men might do." De Lubitsch confirmed that many ancient historians had stated that philosophers, theologians, mathematicians, and poets from various civilizations studied in ancient Egypt over the centuries. Because of Egyptian philosophy and cosmology as the foundation of many of these ancient civilizations, there came to be sort of what we might call a template or framework in which these civilizations presented their knowledge. Be it in writing, symbolism, or mythology, just about every Western spiritual, metaphysical, and theological system's roots go back to ancient Egypt. But one civilization in particular drank a long time from a deep well of ancient Egyptian knowledge and wisdom. That was the Greeks. The mythology that was passed along orally in ancient Egyptian mystery schools for thousands of years was written down in ancient Greece with name changes and nuances to fit their culture. R.A. Schwaller de Lubitsch stated this about the ancient Greeks and Egyptian connections. This indicates that the wisest of Greeks, from their first contact with Egypt until the first centuries of our era, borrowed from the wisdom of the ancient pharaohs. It's important to recognize the Greek connection to ancient Egypt because so many stop at Greece as the foundation of philosophy and theology in the West. As R.A. Schwalla de Lubitz states, the wisest Greeks borrow from ancient Egypt. There is so much literature and knowledge that has been passed down to us that can seem very cryptic or is wholly misinterpreted. But so many scholars have misjudged the knowledge of ancient Egypt as primitive or nonsensical. However, the keys to unlocking deep esoteric or secret writing from the Hermetic alchemists, Gnostic writings, the Christian Bible, and even ancient Hebrew texts like the Old Testament Pentateuch all have their foundation in ancient Egyptian symbolism, mythology, and spiritual science. Alvin Boyd Kuhn, another scholar of ancient texts, takes the idea beyond the Greeks when he agrees with Gerald Massey, another scholar, and says this: "But these several forms of one character did not originate and do not meet in any human history that lived in Egypt, India, Persia, or Judea. They meet only in one place, in the mythos," says Massey, "with indisputable truth. The mythos arose from Egypt, and there alone can we delve down into the roots of the origins. The myths of Christianity and Buddhism had a common origin and branch from the same root. Whether in Egypt, as Massey claims it did, or elsewhere, as others may insist." I wanted to establish a foundation here so that we can begin to uncover the secrets hidden in so many of these ancient writings. These ancient sages were presenting us with knowledge that many of us miss because we have been led astray. We've been blinded by the literal idea of aliens and giants, when in reality the stories in ancient texts have a common framework, in which I will begin to help those who want to dive deeper into the secret knowledge. What I'm endeavoring to do in this video is to give you a glimpse into the beautiful and dynamic symbolic and mythological system of ancient Egypt. Through syncretism, ancient nations built their symbolism with an ancient Egyptian frame. For example, Egyptian Thoth was later called Hermes Trismegistus by the Greeks. The Greeks detailed more characteristics of Hermes in writing, whereas the Egyptians did so through symbolism. But those symbolic characteristics are an example of ancient Egyptians' profound understanding of universal laws and nature. Later in the video, I'm going to break down the shared template of many ancient cultures and their ancient texts. I will make some pretty shocking but logical connections based on common characteristics of ancient mythology and symbolism you may never have connected simply because you didn't know the ancient framework or template. The tradition of the ancient Egyptian mystery school explained. So let's set the stage or foundation for learning the ancient template by giving you some background on its creator, ancient Egypt. The ancient Egyptians had a mystery school and an oral tradition that taught these concepts for thousands of years. Egypt was the equivalent of the Holy Land in the ancient world. Many cultures learned from the Egyptians and shared their knowledge with other cultures. The Greeks is one of those civilizations and started their own mystery schools after conquering Egypt. The Egyptian netters such as Thoth, Ra, Horus, Osiris, and Isis all were personifications of universal functions or natural laws. Like Thoth, each of these netters personifies some aspect of the universe that is universal to all of nature and humanity. The prehistoric name for ancient Egypt was Kemet. This is important to recognize because so many words we use today through religion and science are connected to ancient Kemet, which is referenced by Thoth in writings like the Emerald Tablets as the land of Kem. Kem, Kemet, and Egypt are one and the same, just different eras. Words like alchemy, chemistry, Yeshua, Jesus, and Allah can all be traced back to the prehistoric language and teachings of the land of Kem or ancient Kemet. Scholars know that from at least the 10th century BCE to about the 4th century CE, many cultures created texts we consider sacred on some level in modern times. But it's only become clear since the Rosetta Stone was deciphered how much of it can be traced back to ancient Kemet in Egypt. The fact that a lot of it was even written down actually broke the oral tradition of the ancient Egyptian mystery schools. In the West, we know a few of these writings as the Bible. with the earliest writings of Genesis from around the 10th century BCE to the New Testament writings dated within the first few centuries CE by most biblical scholars. Many more of these writings have been discovered in recent times, like the Nag Hammadi texts containing many Gnostic writings, the Jewish Book of Enoch 1, 2, and 3, the Hermetic literature like the Emerald Tablets of Thoth and the Divine Pymander, and the Apocrypha, which were ancient texts that did not make it to the official Christian canon, but are a part of the Coptic or Ethiopic canon. Again, we've established that over the centuries, many of these writers of these ancient texts drank from the well of ancient Egyptian mystery schools, learning their philosophy, cosmology, and theology. What if our understanding of ancient wisdom is shrouded in misconception? Blinded by a bias that labels ancient Egyptian symbolism as simplistic rather than the bedrock of sophistication it truly is. Envision the depths of knowledge yet to be discovered should we shed this prejudice and recognize the intricate blueprint that has silently shaped the literature of bygone eras and cradled many of our most sacred ancient texts. A legacy long undervalued and obscured. The unity binding these venerable texts has remained concealed, obscured by the misguided notion that the Egyptians were merely primitive, superstitious people, their rituals reduced to sun and animal worship. As I've shown you through R.A. Swallow de Lubitsch earlier, this oversimplification overlooks a rich tapestry of symbolism. Ancient scholars and adherents didn't pen these works as mere historical records for entertainment, as we've been led to believe in modern times. They encoded sacred, profound wisdom within them. At this time in our human history, it's crucial to look beyond the many concepts we've been taught to believe are literal or insignificant fantasies to understand the profound spiritual insights these ancient texts were truly meant to convey. Many of these texts all preserve small pieces of a vast body of knowledge that was thousands of years in the making in ancient Egypt that expressed ancient metaphysical concepts tied to the journey of the soul. Ancient writers including Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, Neoplatonists such as Plutarch and Iamblichus, Hermetic alchemists, Jewish Kabbalists, Pythagoras, and early Christian fathers often engaged in discussions and debates over the centuries and borrowed ideas from the ancient Egyptian template that I'm about to share with you. This shared framework influenced their storytelling and philosophical narratives. The ancient Egyptian template explained. This knowledge will help you to pierce the veil of so many of these ancient texts. If you're used to the regurgitated information about the Egyptian pantheon that comes from repeating the same old things over and over, you're about to hear some different ideas that come from years of studying the ancient symbolism and metaphysics. When you read the ancient writings, recognize these three main characteristics about the writings. Number one, the texts, through their characters and narratives, follow a multifaceted framework centered around the concept of Ra as the universal light or fire as the divine intelligence. Symbolically, the sun becomes a metaphor for this divine intelligence, the life force of all things in the universe. The Ka, or what we call the soul or psyche, is the central messenger or protagonist within the broader cosmic and existential drama. The reason they are usually male is symbolically representing the universal active fire or illuminating light of the source. Males symbolize a masculine active principle. Number two, depending on what was being offered as knowledge and its context and its era, the protagonist's existential drama will have an enemy that must be battled. The enemy could be the forces of nature, nations, powerful individuals, demons, or darkness. The ancient Egyptians represented this hero's journey in the mythological story of the Bark of Ra. The Bark carried Ra on its journey. On the journey, Ra, in the form of Osiris, battled difficulties. Apep, the snake, was a nemesis. Along the journey, Osiris had many feminine netters in the boat with him at each hour. Symbolically, the women, or divine feminine, represented our internal attitudes or environment. Our intuitive wisdom, if you will. You can see this also represented in the esoteric meaning of Bible stories, like Eve giving the fruit of wisdom to Adam. The fruit is the wisdom. When you characterize Ra as a sun god being worshipped by the ancient Egyptians, you completely miss the depth of the symbolism. Number three, the protagonist in ancient Egypt was often Osiris with the spark of the light of God buried within him that offers wisdom and enlightenment. And the enemy is ignorance or darkness, the classic battle of opposites. That's the three facets of the basic Egyptian template that the ancient texts are expressing. Instead of Osiris representing the spark and Horus representing the savior or messiah, they represent the characters as Noah in the book of Genesis, Enoch in the book of Enoch, Thoth or Hermes in the Emerald Tablets, and Jesus in the Gnostic Gospels. Our modern mistake that puts a veil over this knowledge by our own doing is to want to interpret the characters and stories as literal and historical. But following the ancient template, the light, the ka, or soul are the personified functions. This is a key to decoding these ancient texts to gain the secret knowledge. The characters are not the message. As stated before, this is multifaceted, so all the possibilities are not addressed in this short video. However, this basic template or framework is enough to help you shift your perspective when lifting the veil. Here are some fundamental concepts about ancient Egyptian cosmology that many may not be familiar with. Number one, ancient Egyptian philosophy holds that our physical world is a result of one source. Remember, they were monotheistic. This metaphysical or non-material source is the cause of all creation. This is the real world to the Egyptians. From the Egyptian cosmology, R.A. Schwalla de Lubitsch states, "Sacred science starts from this mysterious but demonstrated reality, which shows an energetic or spiritual world preceding the material world." Number two, that our physical world is a reflection of the metaphysical world. R.A. Schwalla de Lubitsch confirms this idea, stating, "Quite another matter is the reason explanation man gives of the phenomena which his senses register and which he perceives as being outside of himself. This strange return reflection of our interiority projected outside of us results in the phenomenon of mind." You've probably heard of the terminology when the ancients say that our physical world is an illusion. They're not saying that our experience of this world is not real. What they're secretly saying is the illusion is the belief of being powerless over the circumstances in your life. Number three, the metaphysical source, which is the light or fire that all souls are born from, is fragmented and buried in matter on the earth plane. When the light descends into matter, it's in darkness with the journey of remembering that it is a powerful spark of the essence of the source. When it remembers, it's resurrecting. It is a victory over darkness. That's a quick generalization of the universal concepts. But again, there are many more nuances, and I want to keep it simple in order to give you a working model to use. The Egyptian universal principles that are personified as netters like Amun, Atum-Ra, Ptah, and Maat became the foundation of the ancient texts and knowledge that spread across the known ancient world in most of these writings. As these personified principles descended through different kingdoms, as the Platonists classified them, they became more nuanced and complex. For example, Ptah is a universal representation of the fire or ka. He is the Greek Hephaestus. In Egypt, Ptah is the netter of netters. He is the light that fell from heaven. But the Egyptian story is not negative. It's not a fall from grace or anything like that. It's the story of the higher light merging with the lower animal tendencies. The soul, the higher self, the light is attempting to get animal mankind to submit to its direction in the face of fears and circumstances of life. That's the darkness couched in symbolism as demons and monsters. The basic story is told over and over in the ancient texts. Ptah is the source of all creative function in the universe on all planes of existence. Osiris is the same function of Ptah, but having descended into the physical plane, he becomes more complex. Osiris is the ka of Ptah buried in the physical world of time and cycles that added to the complexity of the experience of the ka. both Ptah and Osiris have one leg standing on a plinth or base, which is a symbolic clue to functions they share. Both represent the idea of the Ka as a creative aspect of the fire or soul within us all. The universal ability of each human as a soul with the ability to create is a secret key that is often shared in these ancient texts. The ancient Egyptians represented the creative aspect of the Ka by showing the hands of Osiris and Ptah free when everything else was wrapped and bound. Recognize that Ptah is universal and Osiris is more specific to the earth plane. Because the knowledge was traditionally secret in ancient Egypt, the adherents to this knowledge broke the oral tradition when writing it down, but preserved the secrecy by writing it in an esoteric or secret-coded metaphorical and symbolic language. For example, the biblical story of Isaac, Jacob, and Esau are written in the coded esoteric language and teaches deeper universal laws and principles grounded in the ancient Egyptian framework. In the story, the father Isaac symbolizes universal law. He was blind, which esoterically tells a person with the key to unlock the true meaning of a story that universal law is blind when you know how to access it. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are, your background, or what you look like. Universal laws are blind and work the same for everyone. There is no exceptions. The literal story of Jacob stealing the birthright of Esau hides the true secret teachings from those who believe the Bible is literal and historical. If you're interested in learning the deeper metaphysical science behind the story to help you manifest a better life, you can click on the link in the description at www.whodoipraytonow.com and learn how to connect the universe beyond the religious idea of prayer to understand the ancient Kemetic physics principles. I always get asked, now that I no longer believe, who do I pray to? The answer is hidden in the story of Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. But this is bigger than any religion. It's profoundly simple to grasp. The keys to unlocking this knowledge are found in ancient Egypt. It's not about praying. It's about how you think, how your mind is shaped by the illusion while on the earth plane. The idea of thoughts become things is one of the foundational teachings of these writings. But not only that, how to develop your skills to manifest. So hopefully I've helped you understand ancient Egypt and how it's philosophically the source of many writings and teachings in the ancient world. The ancients did add their own nuances depending on the geographic location and their culture, but the basic simplified template is the mythology and symbolism of ancient Egypt. Now, I want to help you decipher a really important netter or universal function of human nature that has been hidden in plain sight. That would be the ibis-headed Thoth. Breaking down the symbolic framework for Thoth as an aspect of human nature. So why did ancient Egyptians symbolically use animal heads on human bodies and vice versa? This question relates to what many in the metaphysical and alchemical communities know as the law of correspondence, or as above, so below, as within, so without. In some modern ways, you have heard this idea, what you put out is what you get back. In Christianity, you heard it said, as on earth, as it is in heaven. These are all connected to what many know as the law of correspondence. We've established the foundational framework of most ancient writings. The characters in many of these ancient writings secretly express the idea of the soul and human psyche as a metaphysical aspect of human experience. We can have an idea of a soul, but the psyche is almost impossible to define. But we can use the word interchangeably with soul. We establish syncretism among ancient nations. They all borrowed from each other, just like we do in modern times. Characteristics of the ibis-headed Thoth in many ways are the foundation of the Greek Hermes Trismegistus, Roman Mercury, Gnostic Jesus, and Christian Jesus. Each of them expressed an ancient philosophical principle about the soul as an intermediary, translator, or messenger between heaven and earth. The soul or psyche connects body and spirit as the go-between of the metaphysical and material realms. If you'll notice, each of them is characterized as a type of messenger. The Bible Gospels are said to be good news, right? And who is the messenger in the Gospels? Jesus, of course. They symbolically, mythologically, and allegorically represent the ancient Egyptian teachings about the ka or soul as the intermediary between the physical world and the metaphysical world, translating information to and from both realms. The animal head explained. Now, back to the animal heads and what they solved. The problem that the ancient Egyptians had to solve was communicating metaphysical concepts and getting the adherent to ask deeper questions to gain revelation and insight into the human psyche. The ancient Egyptian sages didn't arbitrarily choose particular animals. They chose an animal from their physical world that could most closely approximate the characteristics of the metaphysical principle. That was their genius. These particular animals were part of the fabric of their life, their geography, their culture, their myths, and their legends for generations. But if you arrogantly believe that the ancient people were ignorant and superstitious, the keys to unlocking this profound body of knowledge are locked to you. In the case of Thoth, who personifies characteristics of the human psyche, the ibis's head was used to give a clue to the psyche's metaphysical characteristics. If you read about Thoth on almost any website, you will see that he is called the god of writing, science, and mathematics. It's because of him that humans have these tools at their disposal. Didn't writing, science, and math come from human minds? Of course. Thoth represented a universal aspect of humanity while on the physical plane. For the ancient Egyptians, the ibis represented the purest characteristics and corresponding elements of the metaphysical psyche of the soul. Animals represented keener aspects of the soul and or psyche. Knowing an animal's natural characteristics and how they function in nature gives clues to what aspects of the psyche the animal's symbol was helping the adherent to intuitively grasp. In the case of the ibis, it represented precision and clarity because it could maneuver through muddy waters and find its food. A healthy, aware psyche allows a person to maneuver through confusion and ambiguity to find clarity. The ibis also represented creativity and innovation. Thoth is credited with the invention of writing and language, fundamental tools that transformed human society. The ibis, with its distinctive appearance and behavior, symbolizes the uniqueness and creativity of the mind, capable of producing art, literature, and scientific invention. In the case of the Egyptian, a bird's head on a human body also implied the idea of the ability to reach higher knowledge coming down from the heavens. A bird flies high above. The symbolism used by the ancient Egyptians is ingenious. Because they use animals, it makes you search for deeper meaning. The symbolism causes you to tap into the left and right hemispheres of your brain and causes you to use logic and intuition to gain personal revelations and insight. They anthropomorphize the concepts. To anthropomorphize means to connect an abstract or metaphysical function via an analogy to something natural and concrete. These ideas developed into ancient alchemy in writings like the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, attributed to alchemist Apollonius of Tyana. Writings like the Gospel of Thomas and the four biblical Gospels follow the same template of the soul and human psyche as the main characters. However, they did not use animals to represent deeper metaphysical concepts, only humans. This led to the literal interpretations of the ideas by the Romans, who subsequently corporealized their messenger of the good news. They humanized the concepts. The main point to grasp here is that whether it is the Old Testament, New Testament, Hermetic literature, Gnostic literature, Neoplatonic literature, the Apocrypha, they all share a common framework that gives us deeper knowledge about how to navigate our human psyche while we're in the physical world when you tap into the esoteric meaning. The stories and characters are universal representations of this ancient knowledge. The Egyptians preserved the keys in stone. They were not primitive or superstitious. Their mythology and symbolism are the keys to unlocking powerful ancient knowledge developed for thousands of years. When you know these keys, you can dig deeper into the ancient writings on a deeper and more profound level. You break down the real secret meaning of ancient stories in the Bible and other ancient texts that used to be difficult to understand or just not make much sense. They become more meaningful and relevant to your own personal journey, especially when you can break down the esoteric meanings into the modern everyday language. Nothing is hidden from you when you have the key of inner sight. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe, like, and share this knowledge with anyone who may be enlightened and uplifted by it.